Hi, I'm David Price, author of The Pixar Touch, The Making of a Company, and you're listening to the Pixar Podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
You can't rush art.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at
you. Yes, because you're a clown!
Stranger from the outside.
Greeting.
You're not the queen. You don't smell like the queen.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
How do you feel?
Oh, I feel swell. In fact, I think I feel a song coming on.
Hey, good evening. How are you? How are you? Nice to see you. Hey, it's great to be here in your room. Where are you from?
All right. Well, hello there, Pixar fans. Welcome to another episode of the Pixar Podcast. I'm Derek Clements. This is episode number 107. ThePixarPodcast.com/107 is where you can find the show notes for this episode. And we're live again. It's so exciting to see you all in the chat room. Hopefully you are hearing okay and everything is going good. It's very exciting to be with you here tonight. So today is very special. I have some interviews that I'm going to share with you that I recorded earlier this year with story supervisor Kelsey Mann. So we're going to go behind the scenes tonight of Pixar and their story process with Kelsey Mann. A little bit about him. He's been at Pixar since 2009. And on Monsters University, he oversaw a team of 5 to 8 story artists through the process of telling the story of Monsters University through storyboards. So yeah, if you're interested in how storyboards work and how people over there at Pixar do that type of thing, then I think you'll really find this interview interesting. The beginning part is going to be sort of a recorded presentation that Kelsey Mann gave, and you're going to hear him talk through some of the scenes in Monsters University and kind of give a sense of how the story process works. And then after that, I'm going to play for you a one-on-one interview that I had with Kelsey Mann. So again, show notes for this episode are at ThePixarPodcast.com/107. You can find a link to Kelsey Mann's blog. But I think without further ado, I'll go ahead and play for you this interview with story artist Kelsey Mann.
You're back.
All right, everybody, Kelsey Mann.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. University.
Yeah, nice to meet all of you. I'm the story supervisor at Monsters University, and basically, what I'm going to do today is take you through the storyboarding process of this film, and specifically how we did it on Monsters University. Everyone kind of does it a little bit different here. Directors have certain tastes and certain styles, and this is how Dan and I did it on this film. So it's a little bit different from kind of movie to movie. So this is what kind of what we did for this film, but more or less all kind of the same. So story, we're on the film for a very long time. Some people just come on for 6 months and then they're off, but I've been on for about 4 years, so we're in story for a very long time. And I'm going to rewind all the way back to 4 years ago to basically the beginning. And this is how we start, just like anybody else. This is a big, empty, blank, frame, canvas staring us in the face. And I hate this thing. It's so intimidating. You guys probably know, if you're painters or writers, that blank empty page is just so frightening. So we're like, okay, let's not get intimidated. You can easily get caught up in that. We're like Pixar movie. We've got Monsters Inc. Okay. You just have to start working and start getting something down. So we can start reacting to something rather than reacting to our own fears of failing or anything like that. So we just need to start getting something down. So that's what we do. We get together in our story room. It's typically the director, the story supervisor, and the writer. And in our case, writers. We actually had two writers. They came back. They were actually the original writers on Monsters, Inc. They came back, which was great to have them. And so we get together in that room, and we just start talking in a very broad sense. It's a very blue sky, very open. And any idea is welcome. And what we're doing in there is trying to get the foundation for the film. It's just like building a house. What does it matter if we're getting the beautiful molding if the whole place collapses when there's an earthquake or something? You just want to have a nice, strong foundation. So I think you guys saw the first, half an hour of the film, I believe. Yeah. So basically, this is how it began. It's just like this. Us talking about that first act. How are we going to open it? What's the first act break? What's the second act about? What is the character going through? What is their emotional arc of the film? We're talking that broadly. And then when we start to get something we like, we're like, okay, that feels good. Get that down. So then one of us will jump up, and it'll be like, okay, cool, act one, opening scene. We like this idea that Mike is a small monster in a large monster's world. We're like, that feels good. That's what he should be going through. And so this first scene needs to be establishing that. That's the point of this scene. And what Mike is going to do about it is his solution to that problem, whether he knows it or not, is to become a scarer. That's how he's going to feel that he fits into this world. We're like, okay, that's good. That's what the first scene that's about anything and it communicates anything is that. And everything else is just fun, you know, but there needs to be that. And then we've been in little details like, oh, maybe they go on a field trip to MI. We're like, okay, that's cool, you know. And so we're starting to get our ideas down a little bit. And then when we get the structure down, where we're like, yeah, that feels pretty good. That feels like it's strong. You know, we argue about this constantly back and forth. I don't think that's good. And like, well, you know, just like anybody else, you know, we're just, you know, trying to find the best thing for the film. So once that's done, then we're like, okay, the writers then will go off and they'll start writing. And they'll start generating script pages. And they may go in order, they may jump around. There's different ways we can do it. And in the meantime, we have about typically anywhere from 5 to 10 story artists on our team. And they're waiting for pages. We're waiting for stuff. And so rather than having them just sitting around idle, we're like, hey, let's start coming up with ideas that help inform the script pages. So we'll take a scene like, I think you guys saw a scene called Semester Montage where Mike and Sully are trying to better each other in their first semester. Like, that's a perfect scene for a story artist to take a first pass on. It's very difficult for a writer to go back and type a scene, write a scene up like that. It's very musical in nature. It's very visually based. It's very gag based. So it's hard to kind of start that from scratch. So what we do is we'll have somebody on our team like, you know, Adrian is, oh, he's hilarious. Let's give that to him. So Adrian will come in and be like, cool, we got some exploration stuff for you to do. And we'll give him just that assignment. Mike and Sully are, it's their first semester, and they're trying to better each other. You know, Sully's more of a natural talent. Mike is more book smart. And how does Mike eventually get better than Sully in this class? Go. And then he goes off for a couple days, comes up with a million different hilarious ideas, and then comes back and pitches those ideas to us. And we're like, oh, that's cool. That one is hilarious. We've got it. That has to be in the movie. Or maybe not in this scene, but maybe in the first scene. That's a great idea. Let's put that in the beginning, you know. So we're basically generating ideas. That's half of our job, is coming up with new funny ideas, emotional ideas, great lines, great thoughts. And so those then get folded into the script. So we're working back and forth with the writer. It's not like they're two separate things, where story artists are over here, writers are over here. The more we can get them kind of collaborating, the better the movie's going to be. So sometimes we'll do that where we'll give it to an individual, and they'll go off and do their work. But every once in a while, we'll do something where we'll actually get together and do a brainstorming session. And those are super fun, because it's just like a bunch of people sitting in a room, a bunch of candy and snacks, empty, you know, pads of paper and Sharpies and colored pencils. And we're like, okay, we got an assignment. Like, this one was specifically for March Madness. We did a March Madness commercial where the MU basketball team found out that they didn't make it into the finals, and they get all mad that they didn't get in. So we're like, okay, cool. Sports monsters getting angry. How could we do that? That could be unique and funny. So then we just start making each other laugh. We're like, okay, you know, maybe there's a guy that bursts into flames, or, you know, maybe... You know, this guy is, like, furry, and he's just like, ah, and, like, rips off all of his fur, you know? So we're just trying to make each other laugh in the room. And we're like, it's a lot like improv, where you're just like, ah, that's hilarious. Oh, what if you did this and that? And everyone's just kind of going, and the drawings are flying everywhere. We're just going over the top and just being silly in the room. It's great. It's really fun. It can be like that, where it's full of energy and ideas. And then there's the other time where you're just sitting around staring at each other. You don't have anything. And typically, we just look up and just draw the person across from us at that point. So that's what this is. These are all people that worked on the film in story. You know, story artists and writers and directors and all that. Those are all the G-rated drawings I could pin up to show you guys. Once that is done, then we start getting into pages. We actually start getting, like, the writers start turning stuff in. So there's a lot of work that leads up to this. I think a lot of people think... you're just like, they write a script and here you go. You now execute. And it's a little bit different here, which is great. It's a more collaborative. We're all trying to make this as best as we can. So once we get to a point where, you know, myself and the writers and director, we all like, this feels good. This is ready to hand out. Then we're like, okay, cool. This is a scene called Misfit Frat. It's basically the first scene where Mike and Sully show up at the Osmond Kappa house. So like, okay, great. It's kind of an awkward thing, kind of funny. You know, Jeff would be really great at this. He's really good at drawing funny stuff and awkward things. So Jeff, this is yours and great. And you go off and start working, right? And this is typically how it starts. It's like this. Thumbnails, really rough and loose. And these are actually my own thumbnails where I'm just trying to think it out. And I'm like, no, I don't like that. I don't like this. And more or less what I'm trying to do is think about the scene and what it needs to communicate. Is it like an intimate scene? Is it aggressive? Is it action oriented? Is it sweet? You know, what is the emotion of the scene? I want my camera to reflect that, because you can make someone feel a certain way by where you put the cameras. So that's what I'm kind of doing. I'm exploring what I should do, and with the space too. Sometimes you'll get a script, and it'll say interior. Library. And you're like, okay, cool. What does a library look like? And like, well, I don't know. You tell us, man. You're the one to first draw it. You're like, oh, okay. And so then you got to go online. You got to look up libraries. You got to go to a library and do sketches. And like, what do you need for the scene? You know, hopefully, I don't need to design the library. That's for Ricky Nierva and this production design team, Robert Kondo. That's all for them to do. But what I need to do is, what do I need story-wise? Do I need it to be multi-level for story reason? Somebody needs to be up top because I want them to feel like they're looking down on them and they're like an authority figure over them. So I'm like, it needs to be two levels, you know, for a story reason. That's how I design the space. I'm not getting into the molding and like, oh, you know, that's Ricky's thing, you know, not my thing. So basically then after you start doing your thumbnails, and sometimes people board a thumbnail right on the script too. And you're not only thinking shots, but you're also thinking acting. You're thinking out the poses. Like Matt here had a line, like he thought, okay, here's Mike's line. This was Faye McDougal's room. And he thought, oh, maybe he's like, maybe he gently pats the door or something. So he's making acting choices too. You want this to work, you want the movie to work without any sound. You want to be able to just watch it and know kind of what's going on. It needs to be communicate clearly. So once that's all done, then I start jumping in. And I start boarding. And we use a program. We board digitally now. It used to be all on paper. And now we're working in a program called Pitch Doctor, which is an in-house program that we use here at Pixar. And I've got kind of this little pen that's like a Sharpie. And I'm drawing on top of a... I'm using a Wacom Cintiq. And basically, it's just like drawing on paper. You know, it's got a nice smooth surface to it. And it's pressure sensitive too and everything. So I can sketch right in here. So the script says interior, Osmond Kappa bedroom, and sometimes we do have art, like up here. Here's the Osmond Kappa house, and here's the bedroom. I'm like, okay, cool. I got a little bit of reference. Bunk beds, and they're off to the side. So I got a little bit of reference of the space. Interior, Osmond Kappa bedroom. Suddenly the lights go out in the room. Sully flicks the switch. Nothing. Sully says, great. Okay, cool. So now... I hopefully done my thumbnail, so I kind of know what I want to do. So now I just start executing. And so I'm just going to jump in and start boarding right now. So I'm going to get kind of a perspective on the ground there. I'm establishing that it's kind of like an eye level shot. And then there's like a door over here. And then there's like bunk beds. And I'm working really rough and loose. I don't really care about making a pretty drawing at this point. I just need to make one that's clear. We'll get into the details later. So here's the bunk bed. Maybe I want to add a little bit of like shadow. Just to knock that back a little bit, give a little bit of depth, maybe a little bit underneath the bed there. Let's get this connecting to the ground. That. And then maybe a little shadow there. Maybe a little indication of this. Wall and the ceiling right there. It looks like they got kind of a chair up in the corner. So I'll put a chair over here. Maybe it's got some drapes on it. We didn't really use this room very much. get the floor right there. Right there. Okay, great. And then let's add a little light switch right there. It's not a fancy room, so it's like an exposed bulb. You know, that's the type of thing we decide, you know, as story artists, you know. Great. Okay, cool. And I don't want to take it any further than this. I can get really, like, I can just, like, you know, it's very easy to start drawing a pretty background, but the point of the shot isn't the background, so the environment. So I'm just going to stop. That's enough. And I'm going to open it in Photoshop. We kind of go back and forth between Pitch Doctor and Photoshop. And I just have more control over Photoshop. So I'm going to dial down the opacity there. Great. Now I kind of got knocked down. So I don't want you looking at the background. I want you looking. We're very conscious of where your eye is, where you're looking in the frame, and where I want you as a filmmaker to look. I don't want you lost over here when the important story point is over here. Like, look there. That's where I want you to look. So I'm going to dial back the background. I'm going to get Mike and Sully in here now. So here's Mike. I got Mike. And he's ticked off for being there. He doesn't want to be there. Kind of blame Sully for being there. So he's like, screw you, Sullivan. here we go. Shadow there. And Sully is equally as, like, not wanting to be there either. I can flip this around, too, and use it as an eraser.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool. So it's just like drawing on paper, which is great. You can see I'm doing basic shapes of Sully. Everyone kind of has their shorthand for these characters, you know, because they're very detailed characters and you can get lost in, like, doing the perfect nose and the nostril, whatever. Bump. There you go. There's a nose. Done. I'm moving on. The next thing. You know, maybe I'll define a little bit more. Who's that and stuff. Drawing them a little bit off. I don't like where I'm drawing. See how I'm hugging the right side of the frame? I'm not too worried about that. I'm just trying to get a nice drawing of Sully because, check this out. I wouldn't be able to do this on paper, but I'm able to do it on the computer. I'm actually going to transform them and scale them down and move them over. Okay, that feels better right there. You know, and I can even rotate. I can rotate them if I want. But that feels really good right there. So, okay, great. So here's where I was. Ugh, yeah. It's a horrible composition. Hey, that's better. That makes me happy.
Wow.
So close it up. There we go. That looks better. I don't care that I can see through the characters. Whatever. You get the idea. I'll paint behind them when I know the shot is working. It doesn't matter how pretty the shot is if it's not fulfilling the story's needs. So that feels good. Now, Pitch Doctor is based on a timeline. So basically what I'm going to do... And see how I got one panel here? I'm going to duplicate it. Now I got two. One, two. I'm going to open the second one in Photoshop. And the script calls for the lights to go out. So that's what's going to happen. Boom. The lights go out. Bring it back up a little bit so you can see what's going on. And so there you go. Lights on. Lights off. And now I'm going to duplicate that and do a third one. I'm going to open that one up. Turn off the Mike and Sully layer. And I'm going to draw a new Mike and Sully. So the lights are going to, like, go off. So they're probably going to react. They're going to be like, what the heck? What happened? So I'm going to have to look around. So Mike is going to be like, he's going to look maybe this way. Like, what? Huh? Like, confused. And you can see I'm flipping back and forth like a traditional animator would. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just trying to see the animation of it. Like, what? And he probably... His eyes will probably go down just a little bit, like, huh? Get his eye a little bit darker so I can see it. And Sully may look the other way. So, I'm animating his head there. I'm just trying to get that shape feel like it's rotating around. And he's going to look up, too. His nose is kind of high because he's looking up. Mouth kind of, like, down below. And he's going to be like, what? Horns there. And then where's his feet? There's his feet right there. What? And here's his hands. You can see with the hands there. I'm just going like, bleh. I'm not like, here's the thumb, here's the finger. I don't care. Just like, bleh. I just want to get the feeling, the essence of it down. See that? You can get kind of the feeling of it. You know? A little shadow there. Okay, great. So now you can see I've got three panels. So I got them arguing in their bedroom, and then boom, the lights go out, and then they're like, what? And then look around, and I can keep animating. I probably would have them look back and forth. So I probably would do, you know, one drawing and cycle them back and forth. So they're like, oh, what? And I could just keep going like that. Just made myself dizzy doing that. And so then what I do, you know, then the story artist and then pitch that to the director and myself and the writers. And then we're like, okay, that looks good. Make this change, that change, and that change. And then clean it up because we know we like it. So then that's what happens. So then the story artist, in this case, it was Jeff Pigeon who did this scene. And here is his final. There you go. So now you can see. The character's a little bit more cleaned up. There's white painted behind them. It's still rough. You know, it's still rough and loose. You don't need to overwork it. We're just trying to make the blueprints for the film. We're not trying to actually, like, these aren't the final drawings that you're going to see in the movie. So it just needs to communicate. So at this point, then, what we do is then the story artist will then pitch it to all of us. We'll come in. It'll be the director, writers, producer, head of story, story supervisor, the whole story team will come in. It's a bit of an audience. So, and what the artist has to do is a lot like this, where I sit in front of this monitor, and I basically pitch the scene to you guys. More or less like what it's going to be in the movie. It's I always compare it to like some when you ever had somebody like recount a story that you were at, and they're telling it, but then they're ruining it. And you're like, ah, you're not telling it right. Yeah. Let me tell it. There's a way to ruin a joke, you know? So it's just like that. There's a bit of an art to it. Some people are good at it. Some people are, you know, better at it than others. So I'm gonna do that for you. So this is like the story artist pitching it to the director. This is exactly what happened. So I'll pitch the scene to you. So Mike and Sully are in their bedroom. They've been arguing about, you know, being there. They don't want to be there. And then, boom, the lights go out. Sully looks over the light and like, ah, great. And then we cut to the stairs. And then they come down the stairs. Guys, hello. It's all dark and creepy. And then we see this light coming. And they look around the corner. And this door slowly opens. And this light's coming from downstairs in the basement. And they start entering this dark, creepy basement. Hello, anyone? And we see this light flickering, this little candle. And they kind of enter the space. And they walk up to the candle. We see this figure in the foreground. Do you pledge your soul to the Uzma Kappa Brotherhood? Bam! He slapped in the butt. Ow! Do you swear to keep secret all that you have learned here? Slap! Hey! Do you take the sacred oath of the click? Oh! Hey! Whoa! For crying out loud! Something like these bright fluorescent lights are now on in this basement. Sweetie, turn the lights on when you're down here. You're gonna ruin your eyes. Mom, we're doing an initiation. Ooh, scary. Well, carry on. Just pretend I'm not here. And she walks over to the dryer, and he turns back around. This is my mom's house. He's all embarrassed, and they like look at each other. Do you promise to look out for your brothers? And we see off in the distance, the mom is like doing a cute little like mom dance, like no matter what the peril. Do you defend Uzma Kappa? She's starting to turn on the dryer now, and it's starting to like ka-dunk, ka-dunk, like there's a shoe in there. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. No matter how dangerous, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. No matter how insurmountable the odds may be, forget it. You're in. Look, we know we're no one's first choice for a fraternity, so it means a lot to have you here with us. Can't wait to start scaring with you, brother. And he hands this little beanie to Mike, and Mike puts it on his head, and he looks up at Sully. Squishy looks up at Sully, and then whoop, hands him the beanie. Sully's like, oh, God. And whoop, he grabs it, kind of reluctantly puts it on his head. Yay! Slap on the butt. He grabs it and, like, cracks it in half. Whoa! And then run off super scared. Time for a celebration! Grab the couch cushions, gentlemen, because we're building a fort! And then he runs off screen. Mom, can we stay up late tonight? And they're like, oh, guys. They're like, yeah, kind of trailing off, going upstairs. So, in essence, what I was trying to do is pitch you the movie, you know? I'm trying to be silly. I'm trying to do everything that I see in the final film. You know, I'm pitching you sound effects. You know, I may even pitch music, like it's creepy, dark music, you know, because it's going to be handed off to the next stage. And usually the editor's in the room. You want to pitch the editor, like, this is my vision. This is what I see. the final movie to be like. And so it's great. We used to pitch this up on the boards, and now we do it up on the big screen. So more or less you're watching the movie, which is really, really cool. And you can see what is working and what is not, because you have an audience. You're like, and so we'll get notes. We're really like, that wasn't funny. Like, I know it was awful. Or that was hilarious. Everyone in the room was laughing, you know. I don't understand what was going on there. I was confused what was going on. Okay, how can we make that clearer? And it just changes. And that's half of what we do. I always say that that you want to casually date your drawings. You don't want to marry anybody because you're just going to end up with heartache. On this film alone, we've done 227,246 drawings, just like this, panels, just like this, which is a lot, and it's the most for any Pixar film. And it's mainly because there aren't that many in the movie. It's just because we just kept trying to make it better and better each time. So I thought, I've drawn Mike many, many times, so I thought it'd be fun to show you guys how to draw Mike. So if you wouldn't mind grabbing your pads and pens, nice. You can draw along with me. I'll show you how to draw Mike. Great. So, everybody thinks, like, oh, Mike, he's just a round guy, so start with a circle. He's a little bit more complicated than that. He comes to a bit of a point at the top, a little bit like an egg. So you want to sketch out kind of a point there to the top of his head. Something like that. You can be rough and loose with it. Don't worry about being perfect. Some people think they just, like, draw and, like, never can, you know, just sketch it out. Get around. And he's got two little tiny horns. He's not this very scary monster, so he's got, like, boop, little tiny baby horns. And then he's got a nice big eye. And leave some room for the mouth down below here. There you go. There's a little Mike Wazowski.
We've got time for maybe one quick question.
Yours looks better. I'm curious, yeah. When you were talking about the sort of the blank page.
Yeah.
And everyone getting together and playing out the first act and the first scene.
Yeah.
What was known at that point? I assume it was known that it was Monsters University.
Yes.
This was a prequel.
Hopefully you have a premise. You're coming in with a premise, you know? Otherwise, that's what you're discussing. You're like, that's how it began. It was in a brainstorming session of like, hey, we should do another Monsters, Inc. movie. What does everybody think? You know? They're like, oh, okay, well, what is this? What is that? You know? It's the same type of thing. But when we started, when I came out, we had the premise. It was already a prequel. It was already, you know, Monsters University about Mike and Sully meeting in college. So we knew that. And we also knew very early on what the core of the movie was. Was basically when one door closes, another one opens. That was always there. And that's what excited me from the very beginning. I'm like, I want to be on that movie. Because that's a message that I believe in and one I've experienced. And it's one, too, I haven't seen in family movies very much. That you know, I get goosebumps right now thinking about it. I'm just so excited about it. I'm just like, there's something different we can do. And it's something that I, you know, personally believe in. I had a lot of, as I'm sure all of you have, and everyone can identify with this, of, you know, having a closed door in your life. And I had a lot of them. Some people, like, you know, for Pixar, some people just come out of college and they come right here. I didn't have that path. I had a 10-year path leads me up to sitting here in front of you people that was filled with closed doors. So, you know, that's what excited me. So we had that from the very beginning. That's the hardest thing, you know. Once you have that, because it's whatever, Monsters in College, you're like, that's fun, but so what? What are they going to do? What's it going to be about? It's got to go deeper than that. And so to have, like, at least something that we can, again, it's the foundation. That's the foundation of the film, and everything needs to head towards that. It gives you a direction to go. Otherwise, you're going off everywhere when you're like, where are we headed? I don't know. Just keep going, you know, going through the jungle. where are we eventually leading? Just keep going, you know? Nice. So, anyway, yeah.
All right. That's, let's see your mics real quick.
Oh, yeah, let me see your mics. Yeah. That's pretty good. That's pretty awesome. That's awesome. Those are great. Everybody draws them really good. That's great.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, take care.
Can't wait to see the rest of it.
Awesome. Know? Cool. Oh, yeah. I know you guys just saw the beginning.
We just saw
kill me. Yeah. Like, show me the rest.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Pixar Podcast, folks. This is Derek again live on episode 107, thepixarpodcast.com/107. That, what we just heard, was a presentation by story artist Kelsey Mann. He was story supervisor on Monsters University. And on the show notes for this week's episode, you will not see my drawing that I did of Mike. You'd think it'd be simple, right? You know, Mike, he doesn't look too complicated, but I'm a little embarrassed about what mine look like. I'm now very excited, though, to play this next part. So this is a much shorter interview, but it is a one-on-one conversation that I was able to have with Kelsey in another room afterward, after lunch. So I'm very excited to play it for you. When he was talking a minute ago about the theme of Monsters University really resonating with him about, you know, closed doors, closed opportunities, and what to do about that. That really stuck out to me too, with the film and from the footage that we saw when we were there at Pixar earlier this year. So yeah, I really, really loved that part, and I was able to talk to him about that a little bit more. So here is my interview with Pixar story artist Kelsey Mann.
Hi.
Hello. Pixar Podcast.
Hello.
Hi, so you look familiar. I think you're one of my talks.
Yeah, Kelsey, thanks so much.
Great. What's your name?
Derek.
Derek, nice to meet you, man.
Yeah. Great to meet
you.
On
Pixar Podcast.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Pixar.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Me too.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so I really liked your presentation. And
oh, cool.
As you kind of showed us what it looks like to storyboard, and you went through the process of that. And as I've been recording audio for today, and I've been thinking about like what works in audio. My brain works in audio, you know, without the visuals. And so one thing that I noticed was that I feel like when you were doing the storyboard, I think that's going to read really well in the podcast, because you were describing it and you were using words that describe everything on the screen.
Oh, as I was pitching.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As you were pitching, you weren't just letting the visuals show everything, but you were describing every salient feature of the screen. And I just was fascinated by that, because it seems like to be a storyboard artist, you really have to be clear. You have to be. It's all about clarity. I mean, even the way that you draw. So talk about that.
Yeah, you have to be. You have to be able to tell a good story.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what? I actually, one of my first jobs was working with a friend of mine named Chris Bernowski, and he said a great thing. He actually, one of his things is like, great, your portfolio looks really, really great. He did this little trick during an interview whenever he had people come in for storyboarding. Yeah. And he's like, cool, looks like you got some extra time. You know any good jokes? Mm. And then the person would be like, yeah, I know this joke. And if they could tell it well, then he knew they would make a good story artist for his show.
Yeah.
Because there's an art to telling a joke.
Yeah.
There's pacing, and it's the timing. You, like I said, you can ruin the joke. You totally ruin the joke.
Yeah.
So it is all of that. Yeah. You know.
So when you're doing it, are you thinking about all those things? What's going through your head as you're trying to, you know, tell a good joke? Are you thinking like, oh, now I have to do this, now I have to do that? Does it just come natural?
You have to practice. You have to practice. Like, I don't take my work home very much here, but like when I was working down in LA in television, I would always take my stuff home and I would pitch it to my wife the night before. And then I could tell what was working and what wasn't working, and I could actually make changes. Mm-hmm. But I also knew how to pitch. I'm like, oh, I need to describe that before I lead into that. Or I'm over-describing. Just say the dialogue, right? Now, and you get into like the rhythm of telling the story. It's just like, you know, if you have a family story that's been told for years and years and years, you've told that thing again and again. You got it down to its essence.
Yeah.
Like, you know how to tell that story. Yeah. One is too much, one is too little. Definitely practicing helps. You need to know the dialogue. That's the other thing, too. Mm. You need to know that scene inside and out. Mm. So when you're pitching, you're not talking and pausing between the dialogue.
Yeah, it kills
you. You want to just flow right through it, you know. So a lot of people, you know, when they first start, they kind of have that, you know, that they don't have the right rhythm.
Sure.
Pitch.
So, okay, to be a storyteller.
Yeah.
That's a broad term, and you don't need to be an artist. You don't need to be able to draw to be a storyteller.
Yeah.
But do you have to be able to draw to be a storyteller at Pixar? I mean, Pixar ultimately is going to be a visual thing. So
Everyone, yeah. They have a great philosophy here that everyone here is a storyteller and everyone here is a filmmaker, which is great. It's so great for every department that we go into.
Yeah.
All their decisions are based upon story.
Yeah.
The way they light it, the way they shade it, you know, the way they design it. Like, that's just, it's just what is the story. So it puts a lot of pressure on the story department to have something great that everyone's following that.
Right.
It's that blueprint that everyone is following. So everyone is a bit of a storyteller. Everyone, that's what's so great about here.
Hmm.
You know, Dice with his lighting studies, that's sure. all he's doing is help tell the story
yeah.
through the lighting of the scene.
Right.
You think, well, you know, as an outsider, you think, oh, just turn on the lights.
Yeah.
Is it bright or is it dark?
Yeah.
But there's a whole, you know, theory that Dice has that's great for the film, and if you know it, it's really fun to kind of watch it, and it's subconscious, you know, you don't want it to call attention to itself, but it's just kind of like reading on kind of another level that you're not even aware that's happening.
Yeah, so I'm curious about, because I know there's a script for these movies, but I don't know when it gets written in the process. And I'm wondering if, are the storyboards and the written script a chicken and egg sort of thing? Like, which comes first? Mm-hmm. You can't really tell. They kind of happen at the same time?
Yeah, it usually happens at the same time.
Okay.
And more often than not, the script leads to the boards. There's very few scenes that, you know, are boarded and then written.
Sure.
They're kind of boarded and rewritten.
Sure.
Why make
a script at all in an animated film?
You have to have some sort of plan, otherwise you'll go all over the place in boards. You have to have that structure, that foundation of the story. That's what the script helps solidify.
I see.
You don't have that, you're all over the place. And there's certain scenes where we will do, there will be no script, but there will be an outline.
Yeah,
you know, a one page, two page, you know, thing describing what's happening in the scene. Those are, again, the more visually based, not very heavily dialogue scenes. Those are, you know, an action scene. Why do you don't need to script out a truck chase with a motorcycle?
Right.
You give that to somebody to you know, board out visually.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'll have a little bit of story beats kind of here and there, what needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, during that fight. But, you know, those are the kind where you can explore more in the visual sense.
Yeah. And,
you know,
that's interesting. I'm curious, just kind of as an aside, about when the film is done, do they then go in and make a final cut of the script where the whole purpose would just be to, like, submit to awards or something? You know, because
there's a script supervisor, and that's Amanda Jones was ours on the film. She's fantastic, and she's constantly keeping up with all the changes that we're doing, so we have a most up-to-date script.
Yeah.
So they're constantly doing that, and that's used for all kinds of different reasons. You know, you just always want the most update script. A change needs to be made. They need to record it, you know. And they'll even go back and conform the script. So
I see.
It's more for production needs, not so much kind of like, I'm sure it's used for other things, like you're saying, awards and stuff, but I don't really, that's like a side thing that happens much later.
Yeah, I guess it makes just sense to have a final cut, just to organize and you have it on there.
Yep.
Cool. So what does a good storyboard artist look like? What do they do?
You know, it's funny. You have to have all kinds of different skills. What's what I love about this department is that you can have two individuals that are so polar opposite from one another, yet they're both vital in this department.
Huh.
It's so great. There's not one. It's just the same person over and over again.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different skills you have to have in this. And some people are better at those skills than others.
Mm.
Like there's certain people that are wonderful cinematographers, just can draw anything from any angle beautifully, you know.
Yeah.
There are other people that are draftsmanship aren't as strong, but man, are they funny.
Yeah.
And they can do funny drawings better than that person that can, you know, really draw the perspective of a complicated environment.
Yeah.
And they both need to be in story. They both need to be there. So there's all kinds of different skill sets that you kind of need to be an artist, a story artist here at Pixar.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, the kind of final idea that I wanted to talk about was going back to the one of the messages of the movie, one of the themes in it, about kind of running into that wall where you can't do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Talk more about why that connected with you so much.
Yeah. It's funny. That was always there from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it's something that I always personally identified with.
Yeah.
You know, I originally, you know, I've been here since 2009, and I applied in 2000, in the year 2000, actually, and got turned down. Hmm. And I think I applied as an animator. And my path has run into a lot of closed doors, so I really identified with Mike and not being able to do exactly what you wanted to do, but learning in the process that what I wanted to do wasn't really who I am, you know? And I think it's very similar to, like, people that go to college. It's that great, it's that time when you're trying to find out who you are. Yeah. And you come in, you think you know who you are. Yeah. And I'm an English major or, you know, or whatever it is. And then they try a couple classes and they're like, I hate this.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. And they change their majors. Like, there's some, I don't know what the fact is or what the numbers are, but there's some sort of, you know, statistic where freshmen, you know, change their majors, whatever, three or four times over the course of their 4 years.
Yeah, I've done that at least,
you know?
That many times.
Exactly, yeah. I changed mine, you know? I changed mine around, you know? I always knew I kind of wanted to do this, but, you know? So everyone's trying to find out who they are. And ultimately, like, for me, I wasn't meant to be an animator.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't until I found story that I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is who I am. This is what I love to do. That things started to work for me. And it was never meant to go through that door, because that's not who I am.
Yeah.
And I was meant for something different and ultimately better.
Yeah, you found it. Great. Well, so great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you too, man. Yeah. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that. I really enjoyed talking to Kelsey Mann, storyboard artist at Pixar Animation Studios. And yeah, man, I really relate to that last bit that we were talking about there. And this is something that I really connected with Monsters University. Sometimes doors close and sometimes you don't even realize what door you should go down. But it's awesome. The journey is great. There's your little philosophy for the night. So thank you so much for listening. That is this week's episode. The show notes for this episode are going to be up pretty soon at thepixarpodcast.com/107. And there you can listen to this again or in full if you came in late. Thank you so much for those who tuned in live. We're going to do this again next week. Or actually, maybe we won't next week. Look on the show notes. There will be an episode next week, but it might be on Tuesday. So follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepixarpodcast, twitter.com/thepixarpodcast, or you can email at thepixarpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you again so much for listening. This has been Derek Clements, and you've been listening to the Pixar Podcast.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown of proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just my ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
It's got this kind of burning, melty. It's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain, it's kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like this boom, zap kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. All of it's gone. Bye-bye. Woo, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.